Log Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Well, hello there, and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes. We're so glad that you took time out to join us this evening. We have a very good show for you tonight. It's one that I've certainly been waiting for, and I'm clearly looking forward to tonight's broadcast. Some of our co-hosts, unfortunately, will not be able to be with us tonight, but we are certainly looking forward to as many people as possible joining tonight's topic, because it is a very interesting one. And I want to go ahead first and start bringing in some of my co-hosts that are with me tonight, and we certainly missed a lot of them last evening. Lady C was, as always, was outstanding on last night's program. We certainly were so happy to be with her, have her on with us last night. Indeed a pleasure. So let's go ahead and bring in Lady C right now. Lady C, you're live on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We look forward to your commentary.
Well, hi, everybody. I hope everybody has had a fabulous week. I don't know if you guys was on last night, but I just wanted to give you an update on my nephews for those who prayed. And I just want to tell you guys, thank you so much for praying for my nephew. Last week he was in a car accident, a very bad one, by the way. The EMS stated that he couldn't see from his eyes, and he had several broken, broken bones, like collarbone broken, and his shoulders. But when they did a full CAT scan on his body, it turned out he did not have any broken bones. So thank God for that. And they sprayed something in his eyes to get his vision back. So, but he is home. He is doing great. As far as my brother-in-law, he is back at work. He's home and back at work, too. So I just want to tell you all, thank you so much for praying, because literally, like I said last night, my nephew is a walking miracle. I mean, if you saw his car, you would say the same thing, because his car is a complete total loss.
All right. Excellent. And we certainly we have been praying. Lady C did ask us to do some praying at the very day that he was in the accident, and she asked us to do some praying. So our team really went forth and prayed, and we're so grateful that she's bringing this praise report to us tonight. And with her permission, we'll mention that on tomorrow morning's air when we give our praise report. So is that okay with you, Lady C, that we'll give that? Even though you may not be there, but if it's okay with you, I can give that praise report for you.
Oh, you can give it for me.
All right, excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight's topic is, if God heard your prayer the first time, why do you keep praying for the same thing? That's tonight's topic. If God heard your prayer the first time, why do you keep praying for the same thing? Let me go to bring in some more of my co-hosts. We are very happy to have Miss J back with us tonight. Miss J, we certainly missed you all the way out there in that peach country, that peach state.
Hello.
So nice
okay,
to have you
peach
back
country.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, Happy Friday. Happy Friday, and I'm glad to be back with you. I was being that grandmother on yesterday cheering on my grand, but I'm glad to be back. I heard the show was great, and I'm ready for another exciting show.
All right. Excellent, excellent. We're always so glad to have you. All right. We've got some callers that have certainly come into the audience tonight, and we're going to get started. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're not certain if some of our other co-hosts will be joining us, but let's see who do we have on the line. Let's go to 973-454. I'm not recognizing some of the numbers. Who do we have with us, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Doc, and everybody. This is Will.
Okay, Will, thank you for joining us. We're certainly glad to have you. We have Liz, who's going to be joining us tonight as well. And then someone who's also I have a great deal of respect for, we've got an attorney that's going to be joining us. He happens to be my attorney coach. You know, she's coaching me for the upcoming bar exam. For me. I'm so glad to have attorney coach, Coach Cassandra, I call her. Coach Cassandra, nice to have you with us on my show this evening, and it's always a pleasure whenever I talk to you, and I hope we look forward to your commentary on tonight's broadcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I look forward, Doc.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Father in heaven, we pray that you will come into the midst of our program, be with us tonight, and help us to leave here tonight with a better understanding than whence we've come, and that we may be a blessing to manifest your glory on earth according to your will, grace, and your mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. All right, I want to begin. Lady C, I mean, this is rather deep. This is some deep stuff because, you know, I was talking with one of the other doctors today, and I asked him the question. I said, well, you know, if God heard you the first time, we're parents, as parents, if your child has asked you something the first time, Lady C, and then, like a bicycle, let's say one of your children asks you about a bicycle. Mom, you're going to give me this bicycle? And then for my birthday, and the birthday is 3 months away. And you're saying, you know what, you make good grades in school, I'll get you the bicycle. And the child has made, they brought home their progress report or a report card, good grades. And Mom, are you still going to give me the bicycle? Now it's a month away. But they're asking you every week, Lady C. How would you take this? Does this become annoying to you or what?
Yes, it will become annoying to me because I have put that in their mind, and I should have just, you know, just let them know, you know, as soon as I get the money, I will be able to get you the bike, but I don't have the money now. Because sometimes when you plant a seed in a child's head, they're expecting that seed to grow. And if it don't grow when they want it to grow, that's when they start complaining and they start losing trust in you.
Okay, absolutely. So God being the ultimate parent, but first before you say that, yes, the seed has been planted that you told the child yes, but now is it necessary for your child to continuously ask you every week? Do you need the reminders?
You do need reminders. I mean, even when we're praying to God ourselves, you know, yes, we can easily say, you know, be patient, you know, we could throw out Bible scriptures, but we're going to be real. When we really want something, we start questioning God, like, God, why isn't it happening in our time? What's going on? Is it not for me? Show me a sign, you know? And that's how we are. I feel like whenever we ask God for something or really need it, and it's not happening fast enough, we're going to start doubting. We're going to lose hope.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Lady C. Miss G, I want to come to you, and then I want to go to Coach Cassandra afterwards. And pretty much the same question. Miss J, God is the ultimate parent. Does he need to be reminded of the prayer, the initial prayer that you asked him?
You know, God don't have to, I don't think he has to be reminded, but he has no problem, I feel, that he has no problem with us being consistent in our prayer and our asking. because I'm thinking with me, I'm thinking situation, a person might have a situation or a concern that they keep going over and over and over, not getting no results, so they pray on it. They pray on it over and over and over, like, Lord, I need my refrigerator repaired. Okay, it didn't get repaired this week. You continue to pray and pray and pray until it gets done, because all things don't happen immediately. And so you just continue praying. But I don't think that God has a problem with us being consistent, as long as we're being obedient to him. And, you know, and we're just, you know, waiting for, sometimes people waiting for the results that they want and not really listening to what God is saying to us. But it does not make God mad. Now, with man, when you mentioned the boy wanting to bite, asking man, yeah, it can become annoying. But praying to God consistently, no, that cannot be annoying, I don't think.
Okay, so, Coach Cassandra, I want to bring you in. And, I mean, do you think that God needs to be reminded? I mean, he's God. And, you know, we're told that he knows everything about us. He created us. So is it necessary, in your opinion, that we keep asking him, you know, over and repeatedly when we've already prayed?
I'm of the opinion, you know, whenever I think of this scenario, I think about Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, right? I think that we're the ones who want to remind him about what it is that we want, because, you know, sometimes, especially when time goes on, we start to wonder, like, God, did you hear me? Or is it your will? You know, sometimes when things don't go our way, that we're like, well, is this God's will for me to have this thing? Was it actually his promise? I think it's more so us questioning ourselves, us questioning God, more than it is him needing the reminder.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Gee whiz, if God heard your prayer the first time, why do you keep praying the same thing? Will, let's bring you in and get your thoughts on that. You know, would it annoy you if your kid keeps asking you the same thing over and over again? It's like, boy, you ask me one more time, you're not getting that bicycle. Now leave me alone. What do you think, Will?
No, I don't think it annoys me, but like the caller said earlier, especially like you said, Doc, if they have good grades, you want to reward your child. And maybe sometimes you don't have it at that moment. But like she said, you plant a seed in a child's head. You know, Daddy, you did say this and you said this. So, you know, they're looking at you now. You telling a fib to them. So, you know,
okay,
you plant that seed, you gotta go through and make sure the tree grows.
Okay. But Will, God, it's not like God is short in anything. Like the parents say, well, if I have it, like Lady C said earlier, she says, well, if I have it, you know, I don't have the money right now, but if I have the money, I'll get it for you. God is not short in what he has. He's got everything.
You're correct, Doc. Not at all.
So then do we have to keep, it's like, well, God, you know what? You know, you got it all. Can I have this? I mean, just from this one prayer? What do you think, Will?
Yeah.
Just that one
prayer? You got to have, well, I think we got to sit back and have patience and let God do his thing.
Okay, we're going to ask
it may
all
not
of
come, it may not come when you want it, but it'll come on time.
It'll come on time. Does it always come, Will?
It always come on time. You might not think about it, and then boom, God blesses you abundantly. You could be sitting in your somewhere in your car, just tears flowing, tears of joy that God has blessed you. It's not when
All
we
right.
want it; it's when God's going to bless us.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to Liz. Let's bring you in here. You know, I heard one of my co-hosts, I think it was Miss Jada, said, "If we are obedient, well." Doesn't God bless the people even though, I mean, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. So with the sun shining on the just and the unjust, aren't we all blessed anyway, regardless of whether we've been obedient or not? Does God discriminate
yes.
in that case?
God blesses all of us. He made us all. He also said that if you love me, you will obey me. And also he said, put me in remembrance of my word. And also he said to Daniel, who prayed and for an answer, and the angel told Daniel, your prayer was answered the first day, but it took 21 days because the archangel Gabriel or Michael was up in the heavenlies fighting against the devil's demons. So it took longer, even though his prayer was answered the first day, because of the warring that was going on, it was delayed, but he still got the reward. And the lions did not eat him. They were his sofa. But they did eat those who tried to put Daniel who threw Daniel in the lion's den. And so God did answer Daniel's prayer.
Okay, so I want to go back to something, Liz. You say that the lions ate those who tried to put Daniel in the lion, in the lion's den. But isn't it true that the lions had not been fed? So I'm kind of mixed up. So how is it that there were some people that were eaten by these lions? Because my understanding was the lions' jaws were shut.
Right. God shut their jaws so that they would not eat Daniel. So God preserved Daniel, and so but when those evil men who tried to have Daniel eaten by the lions, God had unlocked the lions' jaws, and they jumped up midair before the people could even hit the floor and ate them alive. So, yes, their jaws were, God did lock their jaws to protect Daniel.
All right, we're going to actually stand by, Liz. Let's go to Marva. Let's bring you in. Marva, are you there? Thank you for joining us this evening. We appreciate your patience.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Jesse and everyone.
Good evening. Marva, do you think that you got to keep praying religiously? I know the Bible says in some of your supplication, your prayers, pray without ceasing, meaning pray without stopping. What is that? How do you interpret that?
I interpret pray without ceasing as not necessarily kneeling down on your knees all day long saying, Lord, give me this or give me that, but to be prayerful in your heart, be thankful to God, let your mind be in a place where you're communicating with God at all times. That's how I feel about praying without ceasing. And to answer the question that you asked the first time, there are many scenarios where the prayers might get answered right away, and your prayers may get answered 3 weeks later or 3 years later. And all you have to say is, thank you, Father, for whatever it is that you're asking for. If you're in that thankful and gratitude place in your heart, you will see that God, he may not answer you today, but it will. Even Elijah wanting rain to come, it didn't come instantly. He kept praying and praying and praying till he saw just a handful of clouds, you know, in the sky. So even Jesus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, thank you, Father. I know that you always hear me, but for the people around me, I say this prayer, you know? So that's what I think.
All right, Marvin, we're going to ask you to stand by. We certainly appreciate your commentary as well. You know, I'm looking and I'm trying to digest some of this here. Pray without ceasing. Let me go to Coach Cassandra. Let me ask you, the word without ceasing, and I interpret that as without stopping. But if we're praying without ceasing, that means, you know, you don't get a chance to go to the bathroom. You don't get a chance to eat. You're praying without 24 hours, 7 days a week. And that's not possible as humans because we do fall asleep. So prayer without ceasing, would you agree with Sister Marva that that means that it's more of being in the habit of communicating with God? How would you interpret that? Pray without ceasing.
Yes, I definitely interpret it the same way because I think that sometimes when we talk about prayer or when we think about prayer, we do think that it's like, oh, you know, I have to be on my knees in prayer. But a lot of times it's a conversation between us and God, and that can happen at any time, any place, you know, and it can even happen in your sleep. You know, we've seen biblically where God has communicated with people even through in their dreams. So I do view praying without ceasing as being able to communicate with him at all times and, you know, in all things. That's what I believe as well.
All right, so I want to stay with you just for a second, Coach. And that is, okay, if that's the case, then it's like, God, can I just pray for this one-time thing? You know, I mean, not trying to negotiate a bargain with him, but just, God, would you make this easier for me? I mean, and you give him a specific. Do you have to, again, tomorrow, the next day, do the same thing?
So I think that those are maybe two different things, right? Like, so praying without ceasing, I think, might be one thing, and then asking for something is, I think, a different scenario. I don't find issue or take issue with asking God for something on multiple occasions. Do I think you have to? No. Do I even think you have to barter with God? No. But do I think the answer will always be yes? My answer is also no, because I don't think that we can barter with, you know, oh, if I don't do this, then, you know, this is what's going to happen. I know we do it sometimes, but I don't think that we have to. I don't think that that's the relationship that we have to think that we have with God, because that's not the relationship that children also have with their parents. Like, yes, your parents do give you some things because, yeah, you got the good grades. But then there's also times where they just give you things because they love you. Right. So and I also feel that way with God. And even in friendship, I think that that's how we should have a relationship with him. Like, he is our parent, like he is our friend, someone that we're constantly communicating with. And I think that prayer without ceasing, that's what that is. You know, like how often I talk to my mom or my friends, you know, that's what I view as prayer without ceasing, being in constant communication with God, having and developing a true and honest relationship with him, not one that's based on what he gives me.
Okay, so. So, Coach, have there been times, let's say, when you were growing up, that you didn't get what you wanted from your parents and you really desired that? Were there times
Many
when you
times.
Were a little disappointed with your parents because
oh, yeah,
you didn't
I
get it?
I was angry with them. Yes, I was
okay,
angry.
So how did you respond? If you recall, if you want to share it with us, if you want to take a pass on that, we will understand that you were really upset anyway.
Yes, I can definitely think of an occasion with my dad. I asked my dad for an Eve doll. Eve was like this when Tyra Banks played in this movie, and she was Eve. And I was like, Dad, I want an Eve doll because I just – that's what I wanted. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to get it for you. And he never got it. He never got it. And I never forgot it. And I never stopped reminding him that he – even as an adult, I would be like, do you remember that time when I asked you for that doll? And he was like, I looked for it and I couldn't find it. And I was like, you're not telling me the truth. I don't believe you. And it took me literally looking it up as an adult to find out that the doll did not go into distribution until like years later than when I asked for it. And, you know, like I eventually forgave him, but I never forgot it. And I always reminded him, like, Dad, can you believe that you didn't get me this doll? Like, this was all I wanted. I wanted this doll so bad. And he was like, you don't even play with dolls anymore. And I was like, yeah, but I wanted that doll.
So, Coach, while I've got you on here, I got
a while to forgive.
It did. Okay, so have there been times when you've wanted something from God that you've asked him for it and you didn't get it when you wanted it and you didn't get it at all? I mean, were you angry with God, the ultimate parent?
Yes.
So how did you deal with that one, if you don't mind sharing that?
The same way. The same way. I'm like, Lord,
so you went to God and say, do you remember the time I asked you for this and you never got it?
Yes.
But remember you said about your father, you thought he was lying. Remember?
Yes.
Now, I know you don't come at God like that, or did you? I'm just asking.
No, I did, because I think that I did. I was like, you know, I was very upset because I feel like, you know, in church I was taught that if you just ask for it, it'll be given to you. And I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I prayed for something so hard, you know. And it actually has to do with my dad. It was when my dad was in ICU. I prayed. I was like, Lord, just let him open his eyes at least so I can say goodbye, you know. And I prayed. I called all my pastors. I got all my elders, everyone in the church. I asked everyone to pray and fast with me because that's all I wanted. I knew he wouldn't recover. I didn't want him to recover, but I just wanted to feel like he heard me, like he saw me, that he knew that his children were there with him. You know, that's what I wanted. And my dad didn't wake up, and my dad didn't open his eyes, and it took me years to, you know, of talking to God, like, Lord, you know, you told me if I just ask, it'll be given to me. And I was very honest with him. I told him I was upset because I wanted to be transparent. I tried to be transparent in my relationship with God, and as hard as it may be, you know, I view him as a parent. I view him as a friend, and so I did take that route of just being honest with him, and I think that that's what allowed me to get closer to God.
You know, thank you for sharing that with us, and I have similar experiences. I'm sure many of them on the phone have similar experiences, because my sister, my oldest sister, which was like a second mom, passed away in 2017, and I was praying when I found out that she was really sick, and terminal, I kept praying, and I joined with other family members and friends, praying on the hour, every hour, stopping whatever I was doing, on the hour, praying every hour, and my sister passed anyway, and this was like a second mom. I had already lost my first mom, and it was like, it was so heart-wrenching, it was so heartbreaking, it was so disappointing. And, you know, I did not want to hear people saying, well, you know, you got to trust God where you can't trace him. I didn't want to hear people saying, well, you know, all things work together for the good. How are you going to come to me and tell me all things work together for the good when I just lost my second mom? So, Coach, I want to ask you, I mean, are there times when you want to rebuke what people are trying to come and preach to you when they call themselves trying to be comforting, but it's like you don't want to really hear that at the time? Have you experienced that?
Yes, of course. Yes, I've definitely experienced that, and it—I mean, I still struggle with that. But I think that that's why the narrative shouldn't be that, you know, God is just someone who we go to for things, right? And trying to develop that genuine relationship with Him so that we can try to understand things. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. But
okay.
It's definitely something I'm still working through.
Yeah, and I think I am as well. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational programming. We certainly do appreciate you all patience. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, if God heard your prayer the first time, why do you keep praying for the same thing? Let me bring in Lady C. Let's bring you in here. Have you had an experience? You know, I mean, Coach Cassandra just shared her experience. I've shared my experience. And then on the other hand, I asked God, this week I had to put one of my vehicles in the shop, and I asked God, you know, well, God, can you, like, they're telling me the part alone is $475. The window jumped off the regulator, off the track, and it's like, okay, I was just letting the window down, and I was scared to call the dealer, you know, and I was like, finally I called, and they say, well, the part for this regulator is $475. I said, well, does that include, like, a brand-new door and everything? And they were like, you know, that's just for the part. So I'm like, how much is the labor? $195. So it's like, and so it's like astronomical, right? So I was like, God, can you just, you know, I think I took out an extended warranty on this vehicle. God, can you, first of all, help me find the company that I took out the extended warranty with, because I didn't buy it through the dealer. And then I say, secondly, Lord, can you make it where the window is covered under the warranty, under the extended warranty? I prayed that one time. Didn't even think about it anymore. Got a phone call today, and the dealer says, oh, by the way, your car is not ready. It won't be ready till Monday. They've had it, like, for 3 days already. But they're checking, of course, to find out other stuff. You know how deals go. So anyway, he says, your window is covered by the warranty. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. So I got excited. So, Lady C, have you had these experiences? And I only prayed that one time, and I forgot about it. So is it that maybe we should pray and not think about, you know, keep constantly bothering God, if we can say it like that?
I'm going to say this, count your blessings, okay?
Yes.
Because this is why I said count your blessings, because I will pay $400 for a broken window than paying $1,000 for four new brands, new tires that I recently had to get. So count your blessings on that. But to me,
okay.
Yes, there's some things. There are some things that I won't like. For an example, when I first wanted kids, I was in a relationship, and I tried everything to have kids. Everything to have kids, but it's just I would never get pregnant. Everybody around me was getting pregnant, so I was like, "Okay, God, what's the deal? What's the deal? Like, why can't? Why am I not being pregnant? Because the last one who was pregnant, I couldn't even really be happy before her because she was having my child that I wanted. So it took me leaving that relationship completely alone. And jumping into another one. And then once I got married, to what? It was like within the month I got married, I got pregnant. It was just that quick.
Wow. So do you
know? And it was years after when I first started praying to God that I want kids. It took them years later for me to enter into a relationship just to get to another relationship just to become pregnant.
Wow. That's interesting. So what do you think made the difference? That God gave you a better man suitable for you?
I think God did give me a good man that was suitable for me, you know. But I think I needed to wait on God. I was rushing it, you know. And if I would have rushed it, realistically, I wanted to be with man anyway, you know, because, I mean, he turned out to be a bastard case. You know? And
okay.
My
children, all
right. Me and him are not together. We like the best of friends.
Okay. All right. We're going to actually stand by Lady C. Miss C, I want to bring you in. You said something earlier about if we're obedient. You know, that if is a strong word. If, it sounds conditional. If we're obedient, then God will do this for us. It does sound conditional. So do we have to be obedient? Because I hear people all the time, I mean, athletes or celebrities or others that I even know that, you know, they have these accomplishments. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound judgmental, but they live their lives and they're never like, well, you know, I want to thank God for this accomplishment. Maybe it does sound judgmental, and I certainly don't mean to come across that way, but why is obedience so important?
You know, I think I meant to say while being obedient, but, you know, God, you know, you pray and you keep praying and asking, but God will do it for you as long as you are being obedient. He don't want you to pray for him to do things and be a sinful person and do things that's not right. So that's why I say, you know, while you're doing all this praying and like you're talking about, they thanking God for this and that, hopefully they are being obedient during the time that they are being blessed. You know, sometimes they say false words and just thanking God and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But
what does obedience mean to you? Is it like, you know, keeping the Ten Commandments? I mean, you know, some people
living a Christ-like, doing unto others as you do unto them, being a caring and loving person. That's what he wants us to be, Christ-like.
Well, Ms. Jane,
and
you say,
and obey, yeah.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or do unto others before they do unto you. I mean, what are we asking here? I mean, it's like obedience. What? Because I don't think that's scripture when you say do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that scripture?
I don't think it is. No. It's just...
Okay.
No, it's not scripture, no.
I throw in stuff that's just fine. And I'm certain I do it because I grew up thinking that my mother used to tell us cleanliness is next to godliness. And I thought that was in the Bible until I became an adult. And I'm like, that's not in the Bible. She just wanted us to leave the house clean.
Jesus said, do unto others as you have them to do unto you.
Okay, great. Liz, find that for me so I'll at least know. And that's why I was asking, is it scriptural? Because I like
Matthew.
You know, because I'd like us to leave here.
Well, someone said Matthew 5.
Is it Matthew 5?
Matthew 7 talks about being persistent in prayer. I know that, but 5, I don't know.
Okay, so Liz, you found it. When you find it, let us know. Okay.
Okay.
Meantime,
it sounds like someone had found it already. Sound like someone found it already.
No, she said that it sounded like it was Matthew 5. About consistency praying. Is there someone that's found it?
It's Matthew 7:12. So it is in the Bible. It says, so in everything, do to others what you will have them do to you. For this
right
time that the law and the prophets.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Very good. See, there we go. Now we know.
I was thinking this was good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All
You're
right.
Welcome.
Let me go on.
Lady
J
on point.
Yes, that. Let me go here. What do we do? The question becomes when we pray, you know, that first time, or we pray without ceasing, the communications with God, what happens? How would you all recommend anyone out there that we handle this so that others who are listening might have some hope when our prayer is not answered the way we want it to be answered? Let me begin with you, Liz. Let me ask you that question. Liz, what would you recommend to our listening audience out here who's listening around the world? If it were you where your prayer was not answered, you know, the way that you wanted it to be answered, and you have to deal now with maybe some degree of disappointment.
Well, I just off the top of my head, real quick, I can give an example, kind of like Lady C. When I was in high school, there was this really handsome young man there, and I was like, oh, God, he looks good. I'm like, oh, I like him. I'm like, Lord, make him like me too. Well, come to find out, God didn't let that happen, and the reason why is because I found out later that he was an atheist and he didn't believe in God, and I grew up in church believing in God, and God said for us not to be unequally yoked. And so even though he looked good, he was not good for me.
Well, maybe, but Liz, is it possible that you could have been the light that shined for him? Is that possible?
Well, it might have been possible when, you know, later on after I matured, but at that time I didn't have enough. I was too weak. Oh, no, I was too weak. I couldn't handle it. No.
Wow, I didn't know other people prayed that kind of prayer, because there have been a number of times when I prayed and see a good-looking lady and like, God, please, just make her available, single, and that she would like me also. And sometimes it just didn't work out. And then some of those that I prayed for didn't work out either. That's interesting. Coach, let me bring you back in just and
I'm
ask
glad
you a
I'm
question.
Not alone.
You're not alone. Coach, let me bring you in and ask, in your opinion now, what could you tell our listening audience out here when you've had to deal with some disappointments that you even struggle with? What could give somebody hope who might be listening on this program and not choosing to commentate or give a commentary, but they're struggling. They're struggling with maintaining some hope because they've prayed and their prayers have not been answered.
I would say cling to him. During those times when you feel the lowest, you'll see God in just so many different ways, and you'll see how he's there for you. Despite the fact that you feel like you didn't get the answer that you wanted in that moment, know that there's always a reason. And I honestly believe that when you do pray without ceasing, that he does talk to you. And when you have that relationship with him, you get to see things from a different lens. Like I said, I was angry for years. Like, I didn't even go to church. You know, I stopped going to church. I was like, you know what, I can't. You know, everything reminded me of that moment, of those moments. But, you know, he found his way back into my life, and it was through that time of me just praying and just trying to get back to where I was before and having that genuine relationship with him that I feel like you find that peace. You know, and that's
right.
That's really what we want, you know, peace in our walk with him. So that's how I think.
Right. So, Coach, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever made a pact with God that you know, borders on conditions? God, if you do this for me, then I will do this. Have you ever found yourself doing that?
Yes, I've done that before. I've definitely done that before, when I was younger, especially if I was doing something wrong, I'd be like, Lord, I know I snuck out, but if you don't let mommy find out, I'll never do it again, you know? always when I was doing something wrong, right? I definitely would do that, more so when I was younger, not as much now, but I have done that before.
Okay, all right. You know, it's no surprise. You know, I want to put this out here because my faith is stronger than it was in the past. You know, because I'm testifying early on, right? I failed the DC bar 3 times, and you're only allowed 4 times. And so I'm not embarrassed or I'm not ashamed to say that, because I just have come to the realization that there's a reason behind this, and I'm not trying to justify God's actions or behavior, because he needs no justification. God is God. He can do whatever he wants, right? So having failed that, I mean, there are probably people, I got one friend of mine, we took the bar exam together, and she says, if I don't pass this bar, I'm not doing it again. And we didn't know, this was the first time when both of us took it, and when we got our results, neither one of us passed. And she came closer with a score than I did. And she said, so we talked. She wanted to find out if I passed. I wanted to find out. And we both found out that we failed. And she says, I'm not doing it again. I tried my best to encourage her after I got through. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It took some time struggling with God. It's like, well, God, you know, what's this all about? I mean, this was the bargain. I don't spend all of this money. And I feel dumb. You know, and it's like, what is this about? And so when I called her, she talked about the stress of it and so forth and so on. So, Coach, I want you to stay with me just for a second, because I'm coming at you with this question. So, I mean, it's almost like she threw in the towel. She did throw in the towel, and she meant what she said. She's not going to do it again. That's a second or third person who took the bar with me and said the same thing, and they never went at it again. So I'm looking at me and saying, is there something wrong with me? Has God closed that door? But I don't believe that, because I don't think that he would have allowed me to go through law school and all of these years being older and just leaving me out there. So, and Coach, I just prayed like last week I prayed, well, God, help me to find, you know, somebody that can mentor me, that can coach me. And lo and behold, you know, you spoke with me last week. So it's like God has not forgotten. And maybe it's something I need to do on my part. So let me ask you, did you pray when you studied for that bar exam? Did you pray? And you also, I would imagine, did your part. So what would you tell people like me who have thrown in that towel on their life's dream, the desires of their heart? What would you tell them? And that would be inspiring to me as well, even though I'm not going to give up. But go ahead.
I always say never give up on the desires of your heart. One of the things that you said that I think is true is that we have to put in the work as well. And a lot of times that's discipline and that work takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of change in us, and those are the things that we have to do to get to where we're going. You know, a lot of time we have so many blessings lined up for us, and we're just not ready to receive them sometimes. That's the truth. We're not ready. We're not in a place to receive. But when you do put in that discipline, when you do work towards those goals, you know, I have a lot of friends that did not pass the bar on the first time. And quite frankly, I understand your friends, because I said, I'm a one and done. Regardless of if I pass or fail, I'm one and done. If I pass, thank you, Jesus. If I don't, thank you, Lord, I'm going to do something else, you know, because I was like, yes, I want to be an attorney. But for me, I did not want to go through the bar exam process again. So I was grateful that I did pass on the first time. But I knew within myself, I had the resolve within myself, that regardless of if I pass or fail, I was only taking the exam one time. So I can definitely understand your friends who said that they're just not doing it anymore. But I also don't believe in giving up on a dream.
Okay.
Being an attorney was only part of my dream. It's to get to a dream, but the being attorney was not the dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I think that for me, passing the bar exam wouldn't necessarily be something that got in the way of my dream.
Mm. And when I asked the question about condition, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this. I even did that. God, if you let me pass this bar exam, then I will do this here for you to manifest your glory. And it's like, I prayed this prayer differently and stronger the first time, and then the second time was even stronger, and then the third time, and it's like, whoa. What is this? God is like, whoa, now, God, come on, you're God. You know, you can go in that back office back there and just, you know, fix my answers, and nobody's going to know it. You're God. So anyway, so one other thing, Coach, should we be afraid to tell my listeners on this line, should you be afraid to ask for help when you need it, just as I've come to you? Should people be afraid to ask for help? And maybe God is using other people to help you when we're praying.
Yes, I don't think we should ever be afraid to ask for help. I actually think it's one of a character flaw sometimes when we try to do everything by ourselves, but I don't think we're meant to do that. I think as human beings, we're meant to connect with other people, and that we're meant to help drive each other to be better people than what we are today. You know, that's what we're here for. I think that we should always be growing, always should be changing. And a lot of that development is made with other people as well. So I don't think you should ever be afraid to ask for help. I know I wasn't. You know, I ask for help all the time. We were talking about the bar exam. I was never shy. I didn't care if I never even spoke to the person. One day in my life, I'd be like, well, you have this skill, and I need help. And I feel like I've always gotten positive responses in that regard.
Awesome.
Just being vulnerable, awesome. Being honest.
Awesome, awesome. So, ladies, we're going to actually stand by. Marva, I want to come to you now, and I want to ask this question because I think that it's so important, because we're talking about, you just joined us, we're talking about, if God heard your prayer the first time, why do you keep praying the same thing? So, I mean, I know that I keep praying. Well, God, and now, Marva, I want to say, I'm even thanking God for not only passing one bar exam, but two. That's almost like having the faith ahead of time. Because it's like, okay, he didn't let me pass one, but I'm just going out here and saying, God, I got the confidence in you that you're going to help me pass two bar exams, even if that means transferring my score, scoring high enough to transfer into another jurisdiction. You want to explain to them what I mean by that, Coach? And then I'm going to bring Marva in.
Oh, yes. So on the bar exam, depending on your score, you can waive into multiple jurisdictions. I mean, depending on how high your score is, you can waive into more than 50 states. You wouldn't want to, because that'd be very expensive, like 50. I meant 30. But every state that your score can allow you to go into, you'd be able to transfer based on just one examination.
Okay, so in other words, now with me, that faith that I have, it's like, okay, God, yeah, I failed that. But it's like It's like, but I got confidence. I'm not giving, and this is what I want the audience to take from this. As Coach Cassandra said, don't give up on your dreams, you know, because that's what the enemy will want you to do. But, see, I have the confidence now. Okay, I failed it 3 times. I'm older. Okay, God only determines, you know, what happens to you in life, you know, and when it's your final time. And so I say, well, okay, come on. Then I will, God, I got so much confidence in you that I'm going to, this next time around with Coach Cassandra's help, I got so much confidence that I'm not only going to pass one bar exam, but I'm going to score high enough to wave into another jurisdiction that gives me at least 2. That's the confidence that I have, my faith in God, not so much myself, but the faith in him, and I'm going to do my part because I got a coach now that's going to hold me accountable to that. So, Marv, I want to bring you in. How important is faith when it comes to our prayer? How important is that faith?
It's very important, Dr. Jesse. It's all over the stories in the Bible about faith. Our faith is exercised when we wait to get the answer. But the way you just said that just now sounds like you may have a lot of faith in the lady who's coaching you, your life coach, and not necessarily God.
Michelle, I want to bring you in with the same question. Michelle, I want to bring you in with the same question. And your thought, and Margaret, we certainly do appreciate your thought on that as well. And Michelle, I want to bring you in here basically the same question. You know, in each person's faith, their measure of faith can be different. So, Michelle, I want to bring you in. In your opinion, the message that you present to our audience this evening, why is faith important for you when you pray, and have the faith?
Well, number one, my faith is important because I know I can do all things through God and with my abilities, but I have to keep the faith with it because he helps to make me strong. So I just keep my faith because I know that he's the one that will be behind me to keep me in check and strong. And with the faith and the guidance that I've gotten, can't nothing go wrong, you know. I feel I can go on from that. Faith is what I rely on, my faith and my ability. Faith first, then my ability.
Okay, faith. Okay, I like what you're saying here. Lady C, I want to bring you in. Well, the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So does that mean that there's a certain we have to do to ensure that we're doing our part and maintain our faith in God that he will deliver us? Is that how it goes in your opinion?
In my opinion, whatever you ask for and whatever you pray for, you need to be working towards.
You need to be working towards.
Like,
you need to be working towards.
If I am praying for a new car, I need to be saving money to get that new car. Is what am I doing? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean,
all right. That makes
if I'm
sense.
Not saving, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. I'm just wishful thinking.
Right. We've got a short time on the air. We're going to end tonight at about 8 o'clock, which is about 7 minutes from now. And ladies, we're going to ask you to close us out in about 4.5 to 5 minutes from now. But we first got to take a commercial break and go to one of our sponsors. Mm-hmm. Sister Marjorie, we're going to go to our sponsor now. Are you there? Marjorie Cross.
Oh. Yes. Hello, good evening, Dr. Walker.
This is one of our sponsors.
Hello.
Your commercial.
Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening, all the co-hosts and everyone on the show. Yes, my name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm a member of one of the leading company of America. The name, my website, we have products that could help with a lot of different, that we may be able to help you with a lot of different illness. We have products like Isogenic Premium Tea and different things. My telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. And my website is www.isagenix.sisterlove.com/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. Again, it's www.isagenix, I-S-A-G-E-N-I-X, .sisterlove.com/collagen. And you could call me, and if you need to speak to Dr. Brown, I'll be able to let you speak to him also. And you could tell them that you heard it on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. God bless you all, and keep well. Love you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marjorie, and thank you for being a proud sponsor of ours. Thank you so very
You're
much
welcome.
For that.
You're
let me, Lady C, let me bring you back in. I just want to ask this question quickly, and the question becomes parents. I'm certainly a parent. I have two boys, two girls. I pray for my kids every single day, basically the same prayer to protect them. Lady C, let me ask, as a parent, do you find yourself praying that ritual prayer every single day for your children?
No, I do ask God to protect them, but I don't pray it every day, only because I know God's going to protect them.
Wow. Okay, interesting. Ms. Jay, let me bring you in with that question as well. Ms. Jay, you have children, right? Is that right?
Children and grandchildren.
Okay. Do you pray for them every single day? Every single day? And if you do, why are we praying? Because I do. And so the question becomes, why am I praying?
Because out there in the world.
Huh?
Mainly because of the elements out there in the world. Whenever they walk out this door or even they're in the house, I pray for their protection and, you know, and that they're successful and do well, but mainly for their protection every day. But I have some ritual prayer for them every day. And every night I tell you, thank you, Lord.
Ms. J, so with that, and we're about 2 minutes, 3 minutes before, about a minute and a half before Ms. Lady C closes us out. So, Missy, I've got to ask you just quickly here. So, is there a day when you be afraid not to pray that prayer in case something happens?
I wouldn't be afraid because I know with my persistence in praying that God is taking care of them. But the earthly people, you know, I still want to do it. But if I don't do it, God will protect them as much as he can, you know. But these earthly people, I tell you. Okay.
All right. Coach, I want to bring you in here quickly. We're almost out of time. I want to ask, if you don't have kids, are young people praying for their parents every single day? Let me begin by asking you, do you find that you're praying for your parents, your mother, every single day, or you don't?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't pray for my mom every single day.
Okay. That's interesting. And I think that parents have a tendency more to pray for their children. There's not a day that I can even remember since my kids were born that I did not pray for them every day. So, you know, that's where a lot of this comes in, to ask the question, why are we praying that same prayer every single day? When Lady C says, well, if I don't even pray it, he's going to protect them. Liz, let me bring you in. Liz, should we just take it for granted that God's going to, it's going to be his will anyway. So why do we need to pray every single day, whether it's for a parent or for a child?
Well, he says for us to pray. And not only that, it's everything that God says in the Bible is for us. He already knows everything. He already has everything. So he says for us to pray to him so we can have a relationship and get to know him. He knows us. But we need to get to know him. So praying to him is a way for us to get to know him more. And doing his will is getting to obey him and learn more that as long as we are praying to the Lord and as long as we are obeying the Lord, then the Lord is going to bless us. And the Lord say, who he bless, can't no man curse.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue with this one here. We're out of time now, so I want to thank all of you all for joining us. Listen, we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 6:30 to 8:30 when we have our International Divine Intervention Day. And what that's about is you will really want to get up early in the morning for that. You get a praise report, and God is intervening into humanity. And I'm telling you, a lot of great things are happening. Getting up early and coming, and it's almost like a church service. So even if you come on at 7 or 7:30, the speaker doesn't come on until almost 8 o'clock. But you want to be blessed with hearing some of the testimonies that are out there tomorrow morning. So at this time, we're going to go ahead, and tomorrow's theme is Faith Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. Faith Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. That's tomorrow's theme. And our guest speaker is a young lady who's going to bring us a powerful message. Her first name is Stacy, and I'm trying to remember her last name. We've had so many. I can't remember her last name, but we've got her. She'll be there tomorrow morning. So anyway, you want to check that out. Lady C, please close us out. We're completely out of time.
I am going to close us out with a Bible scripture, okay, because I feel like it's the best. Okay, Matthew 6, 5 through 15 says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So I'm going to leave you guys with that.
Amen. All right. On that note, we're completely out of time. Thank all of you all for joining us this evening. Special thanks to Coach Cassandra for taking time out of her schedule to be with us. We certainly look forward to those of you all who will be joining us tomorrow morning. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we look forward to you joining us next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
God bless everyone.
Oh, God bless you all. Keep well. Thank you.
You too.
Have a good night.
You too.
Great show as usual. Thank you.
Yeah, as usual.